Our next guest, Philippe Senderos, had a brief spell here in Houston, but is most noted for a time period where he played for Arsenal from 2003 to 2010. He had 116 appearances there, 57 caps for Switzerland, played in World Cups, was recently the sporting director at Servette after ending his playing career. Here's my interview with Philippe Senderos. Philippe, thanks. Great to catch up with you again.
Hi, Glenn. Nice seeing you. Nice to catch up.
I'll tell you what, you've been a busy man. I've seen a lot of the things you've been doing post-playing career, and it's been really interesting to watch how serious you're taking football management and all the other things. You went back to your former club where you grew up as a youth, Servette, and you have been working as their sporting director in recent times. Just tell me a little bit about that move and why you made it. Obviously, it was your club growing up deep in your heart.
Yeah, though. So I had the opportunity to come back to my hometown club and contribute. I think that was really my goal, to come back and put a process in that will help the club in the long term and have a more of a sustainable approach, even though it's always difficult, even in Swiss football, to be sustainable, but to have at least an approach that, you know, we put processes in play that that will remain even after people are gone. So that was something, a way for me to give back to my former club, and it was a great opportunity to step into management.
Now, I know you had a lot of focus on player development, setting up a structure that could feed the first team. Maybe you can take us into that a little bit.
Yeah, so we have a very strong academy here in Geneva. I think the pool of players is there. We just had to create and facilitate a player pathway from the academy to the first team. And we managed to do that. We had some very good results in the youth, under 16, under 18, winning titles, cups over the last 3 years. And the last stage that really was missing was the under 21 level, which is our second team. They were playing at a very low level. So we had to bring that team up to bridge the gap between the 18, elite 18, and the first team, to be able to bring those players through. And we managed to do that with two promotions. The first team has been fed by multiple young players from the academy. The thing is, in Geneva, all the players from our academy are from Geneva. They're not from another city in Switzerland or anywhere else. So that's a particularity. Imagine creating a team with only Houstonians, even though Houston is very large and big. Geneva is not that big, but it's a particularity. And we created a real culture. We continued that of people from Geneva who want to make it to the first team. And I think we managed some parts at least.
Philippe Senderos, you remember him from his time here in Houston. You remember him for his time at Arsenal, now doing it post-playing career on the management side. You know, you struck on something very important there. How important is it for a club like Servette to use local resources, to bring back a former player, to make sure there's that connection that goes directly to youth soccer fields in the city?
It's hugely important. I think people need to relate to what's happening on the field, and when they see people from Geneva, people from their neighborhoods who are making it to the first team, they can relate to that. And especially if you know football is a vehicle of fantastic values, and we want to create this type of environment here in Geneva that people can relate to the same values that we have in our community on the fields. You know, this is something very important that was not from me, but obviously from our president and the board that really wanted to do that. And we managed to create some kind of atmosphere that generates this success. You know, success is not only on the field, but it's also in the community. We've seen an increase in the people that came to the stadium, and that was really a good success.
You know, it's remarkable to see football players go back to the clubs that and like yourself here, you know, trying to repay the opportunity that you had once had as a youngster, and the help that people had given you growing up as a footballer. I never forget the time you came in studio here in Houston and you told the story of how you lived in an apartment and you could see the field. And that was a visual daily kind of goal for you to get on that field one day playing for that team. Speak to those kind of influences. You know, we hear about player development and all the things that actually happen on the field, but there are other ways of influencing and making a young footballer dream, right?
Yeah, of course, there's different ways, but yeah, you need a spark. You need something that will create that fire in your belly that will want to get you up in the morning, go to training, and continue to progress. I think as a human being, you need to be curious and you need to want to do better every single day and better yourself. Obviously, you need that kind of environment to do that, and that's very, very important for us that we create that type of environment, that security that allows the player to develop and create a dream. I think you need that. In the first team needs to do well. This is the locomotive of the club. And if the first team does well, the rest of the club will hopefully follow.
Philippe Senderos, 2003 to 2010, was at Arsenal, 116 appearances there, 57 caps for Switzerland. He came and played in Major League Soccer here in Houston. Remarkable career. All of a sudden now you're a sporting director at Servette in 2020. You're dealing with boards of directors. You're dealing with player contracts. You have COVID. This is a different kind of pressure, and it's not one where you can go out on a field and make a difference. How did you adjust to that? Because, you know, that's all of a sudden a very big change.
Definitely, that was very challenging for all of us. It was an unexpected situation that we had to deal with. I'm comfortable being uncomfortable, so that was really the most uncomfortable time for
everyone. Wait a second. You're comfortable being uncomfortable. Explain that to me, because I think there's something unique here.
It's not unique. I think I want to better myself, and I don't like to be in a comfortable seat that. Is everything is easy. I need to be challenged, and that time during COVID was definitely a very challenging time for everyone. Things were blowing out of proportion, and we had to deal with this as a football club. The first and most important was the security, the health of the player, of our academy and our first team. So we had to protect that and their families. And then the rest was trying to maintain a kind of a normality and continue playing football. We had tough times. We had to deal with that. We managed to do very, very good in that time, making sure that our players were safe and their families too. And also investing some money into improving our training ground, the facilities for our youth players. And that was an important step in the development.
Dealing with player contracts and the player side of it, I read in an article you said you have to kind of separate yourself from the players in a way. Speak to me about that a little bit, because, you know, you've spent a majority of your life in locker rooms with teammates, with football relationships. Maybe explain how that becomes a little bit different, maybe, and a little more isolated.
Well, I think when you're on the field and you're the one playing, you have a different perspective. Once you move into management, into the board, into a sporting director, you have a completely different perspective. I think the player, what I believed was the player was at the center of everything, and we needed to make the player happy. And in that process is to make sure that we are honest and clear with the objectives, the goals that we want to focus on for the seasons coming. And then playing with taking that distance and not be too friendly, because things need to be said when you're in a management position and you need to make some decisions. I obviously knew some of the players. I played with some of the players when I first joined, and I needed to take that separation, that distance that allowed me to make the right decision. As a sporting director, you look at it more of a mid-longer term approach, looking at the clubs and the development of the club. As a coach, you look at it as a week in, week out. You know, every single week you need to win the next game. The sporting director needs to be there to support it, but needs to take a longer term approach. So in that regard, you know, it was important to have as most information as possible to make the right decisions.
Philippe Senderos joining us, former Arsenal Switzerland, now getting into sporting director at Servette for a number of years now. FIFA club management courses. I've seen photos of you and you've been presenting and you've really been educating yourself on this. I mean, I'm really impressed how you just are going after all these other things. You're trying to educate yourself. I see pictures of you with other players like Cannavaro and Tim Cahill and others. Speak to me about this FIFA club management course that you've been involved in and what you're doing with that and where maybe this will take you in the future potentially.
Well, I can't just rest and believe that my career as a player was enough and my experience is enough. I need to further my education and this is the opportunities that I have in front of me. At different stages, there might not have been as many, but now there are. And I need to continue bettering myself, making sure I get as much grades and much education as possible to be the best that I can be. This FIFA management diploma in club management, I did the first edition. So as soon as I heard of it, I applied and I was able to get my diploma. I produced a final project. And in the second edition, they invited me to be a speaker and to present that project. And, you know, it's a very, very interesting part of the job, one that I need to continue because I need to be as best as I can, but also create an important network with other executives, and that's important in the development.
Philippe, what does the future hold for you? Do you want to get back into the management side again? I mean, obviously, you're continuing to study it and work on your craft. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, I want to continue in football, that's for sure. I don't really know which position at the moment. I'm fresh off working into football, into my hometown club. When you're in the job, it's like a washing machine and you're really inside and you're turning. So now I'm out of it and I'm trying to take a little bit of distance to analyze what has been the right things that I've done and the worst, the not as good things that I probably did and the mistakes and trying to fix that and hopefully, you know, get some energy again and get back into another position. I'm not too sure yet which one, but, you know, options are there. It's just the time to choose the right one.
So I was very curious to ask you about your thoughts on the exciting season Arsenal's had. I know it's getting very nervy here at the end here with the loss to City, but maybe just speak about kind of the rebirth of Arsenal and what it means to you as a former star player for that club.
It's been incredible to see. You know, if you think of it 3 years ago, it was a difficult situation. They stuck at it. They believed in what they were doing. There's been a lot of work done over the last couple of seasons. And this year has been fantastic to see how the team really started to believe and continue to believe and led from the front in the league. Now, unfortunately, they've lost the top, but they will play Champions League next year. I think it's a fantastic season for Arsenal, and they still have 5-6 games to go, which are going to be like finals and an incredible moment for Arsenal Football Club after many many years where it was tough to see the real Arsenal of what it was.
Mikel Arteta and his staff and all the people behind the scenes, I mean, it really is a remarkable turnaround, don't you think? In fact, in the way he's built this culture, a winning culture, I mean, the club's always had talented footballers, but it just seems to me there's a backbone, there's a culture there, there's a commitment amongst everybody in a bigger way, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think you can see it also in the documentary which they did, which was fantastic, and it showed really the day-to-day thing of how they go about and how Mikel Arteta communicates and transmits to his players that belief. But I think it's more of a club thing where the whole club was there to support him as well. Obviously, the players are the main part. Mikel Arteta is the exposed part of that, where he has to make the right calls and right decisions. but the club has been behind and structured and stable and has been able to give that support to the manager. And it's great to see the belief around the place, the way the fans are loving the way the team is playing. It's fantastic to see.
Philippe Senderos joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Philippe, is the game getting too commercial now? Or do you worry a little bit about the sanctity of football now because of how overly commercial it just seems to get by the day?
Look, I'm a romantic, so I believe the game is always going to be something that will prevail, you know, and you have to believe in that. When you move to a more of a management position, you see the other side where it has to go hand in hand. In some leagues, there is less support in TV rights and broadcasting, so you have to create revenue for the club to be able to be competitive on the field. Sometimes the field, it creates itself the revenue where you're able to sell players, and that's part of it. But I'm still a romantic in the way the game should be played. And if you do the things the right way, I believe success will come.
When you go back and reflect on your experience here in the U.S. in a league that is a centralized league, doesn't have promotion and relegation, is it interesting to compare what goes on in the U.S. and the way the U.S. runs Major League Soccer and the way the game is played, for instance, in Switzerland at the top tier?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, promotion and relegation plays a big part into our football here in Europe. I think the MLS has this, that you're stable for the next year. You need to continue improving, but you have the stability that, you know, you're not going to go to second division next year. So that creates a certain platform for clubs to develop other parts of their football club and focus on different things than the scare of promotion or relegation. I think this is a different model, having that closed league. But, you know, if I speak about my personal experience in the MLS, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought the games are exciting. I thought the league is exciting. I thought, you know, it's getting better every day. Even though I left a few years back, I think the league is even much better today, more even. And, you know, it's an exciting time for American football.
And I just want my listeners to understand one very generous thing Philippe did. At the time when he was in Houston, I was covering the World Cup, and Philippe was nice enough to allow me to sit down with him one day and talk about the Swiss national team, which I had a number of their games to call. Philippe, thank you so much for coming on. You know, we would love to have you come back to Major League Soccer one day. So, you know, don't count that out, coming back to the United States. It's wonderful catching up with you. Can we do it again down the road here and see where you are career-wise?
For sure. For sure. Excellent. And nice seeing you, Glenn. And thank you very much for having me.